الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. This is, let us first do one aspect of namaz before we carry on. One, the outward, to correct our namazes. One is that we should keep our gazes in the correct places in namaz. That is, when a person is in a standing position, he should keep his eyes at the sajda place. And we should try and be careful, eyes also wander around. Somebody is passing, we look there. Somebody we got an interest on, we look there, etc. We should control our gazes. So in the standing position, we should be looking at the sajda place. And then when we go in ruku, we should look at our feet. And then when we are going sajda, though we cannot see, but we should focus on the tip of our nose. We shouldn't close our eyes also. And then when in a sitting position, we should look in our lap. And when we are making salam, we should look at the shoulders. And make niyat of the kiram and katibin and other niyats, but we should be looking at the shoulders. This is perhaps a mustahab of namaz. But the value, if we can perfect our namazes, our whole deen, a person who perfects his namaz, and how much our namaz is corrected, our deen will be corrected. How much our deen is corrected, our akhirat will be made. How much our namazes are corrected, our dunya will also be corrected. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in his time, at one time when they were serving the guests with food, so one person who was giving water to the people, anyone wanted water. Now, with us, the jug is on the dasturkhan or on the table, whoever wants will take. But there people walk around and anyone wants water, they give it. Food also, they bring hot food as a person who wants more food. So the one person serving water dropped the glass. And what glass also? When I was there, they were just tins that were cleaned properly. Now maybe different. Everything is upgraded now. But in those days, how it must have been. Anyway, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali looked up to him and told him, looks like your namaz is still not correct. Because your namaz is not correct, then that is why you drop that. So anything that goes wrong, we should think that is my namaz correct or not. Namaz is such a ibadat Allah Ta'ala gave us, and we have to make effort on the namaz, then insha'Allah, everything else outside namaz will also go correct. Our dunya also, our deen also. And as-salatu imaduddin. Namaz is the very foundation and pillar and column of deen. So it's very, very important that we should correct our namaz and keep our gazes in the right places. On one occasion, in the masjid, very many years ago, a nikah was going to take place. So they asked me to say a few words. So in that, this talk also just came, that what you call it, if a person controls his gazes in namaz, then outside namaz, which we all find so hard to control our gazes, we will be able to control them. This is the place, like a car, we have to take it for service, 6 months, 20,000 kilometers, whatever the case might be. Regularly we have to take it for service. But this human body, the car is only one vehicle, we go from one place to another. This human body has to do so much. So Allah wants it to be serviced 5 times a day. Yeah, the alignment mustn't go out a little bit also. If your wheel alignment goes out of your car, you know your tires get worn out. And the car is pulling one side, it's very difficult to control. You have to, with force, you have to pull the steering the other way. It's difficult. Yeah, if the wheel alignment goes out, it will be much more dangerous. Like, for example, you want to look at your wife but your wheel alignment is gone out, you are looking at your neighbor's wife all the time. Because your wheel alignment is gone out. So and you're trying hard to keep your eyes this side, but your eyes are just going the other side all the time. Your thoughts are going that side. So this service is much, much more important. Also, if one great alim of Zimbabwe, Maulana Bahadur Sahib, he told me that motor car manufacturers learn from the Quran Sharif how to make motor cars. So I asked Maulana, where is that in the Quran Sharif? So he says, didn't you read the ayat, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing man that they must cast their gazes low. They must dip their lights. If a car is at night when you are driving and you got your bright lights on, and another car comes from the front with bright lights, and you don't dip your lights and he doesn't, you can get dazzled and an accident can take place. Yeah, perhaps 5-10 people can lose their lives. 2 cars can be a write-off, or perhaps a pile-up of cars, or other cars come and pile up there, and a very big accident will take place. But if your eyes, your spiritual eyes are not correct, and you don't dip them, if you are walking, and you've got your bright eyes looking at all the people, woman, everyone, and there's a woman also coming with her bright lights on, she's also looking if there's anybody interested or something, and the 2 eyes have to meet, yeah, our whole dunya can get destroyed and our akhirat can also get destroyed. The is so much more greater. So they learn from the Quran Sharif that you must dip your eyes. And so beautifully also the Quran Sharif said, يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. The Quran didn't say close your eyes. That if you see a strange woman, you must close your eyes. If you are walking and you close your eyes, and that woman comes and she's also closing her eyes, possibly you bump into one another, or possibly one falls down and the other one falls on top of the other one, which will be much more serious and worse. So all we are commanded to is just to keep your gaze low. And with that extension of your eye, what you can still see, just see that you are safe all the time. Also our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, when we are driving, then the driver must see the other vehicle alongside, in front. We mustn't see the driver of the vehicle. But we want to check who the driver is. Is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it a young woman? Is it an old woman? What kind driver? We are not, Hazrat says, we are not, nobody made us inspectors to see. We must just see that that car is at a safe distance. So look at the other vehicle, don't look at the other driver. And the passengers in the other driver, or people on the walking on the footpath, etc., that's not our job. And also, if our car is not right, like the indicators, for example, if there is an auto electrical fault, you put your indicators on for the right side, but there is an auto electrical fault, the left side indicators went on. Now you wanted to turn this side, and the car from the back saw you turning this side, because the wrong indicators. So he'll pass on that side, and you are turning that side. What an accident will take place. The same way, if our spiritual indicators are not in order, and we want to look at our wife, but we are looking at our sister-in-law. We're looking at the wife's sister all the time. This will cause a much more greater accident. So therefore, we need service of this vehicle, this human body, 5 times a day. We have to come to namaz, and all the postures in namaz keep our gazes on the right place. As I said, this may seem to be just one mustahab of namaz, or hukam like that. It's not a sunnat-e-muakkada or anything like that. But just observing that, how great benefit there is. Yeah, I said, that way there was a nikah, and they asked me to say a few words, and this came also in between, that if in namaz we keep our gazes where they are supposed to be, then outside namaz, our gazes will also come under control. So there was one person, we know friends we were, but the talk got finished and everything. After about 2 months, he phoned me. And he told me, a very nice, pious person is there, he's elderly also, sickly. Allah give all our sick people also good health, spiritual health also, physical health also. So he phoned me and he told me that I hate this problem, terrible problem of looking at other women. And because of that, he was sincere. But Jinnah is good Jamaat brother, make khidmat of all the buzurgs when they used to come. He said, because I wanted to save myself from this guna, I made a second nikah. But still that guna persisted. But he said, since I practiced on that prescription of namaz, to keep my eyes on its places everywhere in namaz, now alhamdulillah, 100% Allah has saved me. Now my eyes don't wander around and look at other women, and I don't cast lustful gazes. So if a mustahab of namaz can do that, then when Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, that the first quality in order to become completely successful in this world, to have a noble character, everything, it is correction of namaz. And one aspect of namaz, that we keep our gazes. We have to practice on this also. And we have to learn to focus. It's not so easy. It's just like our thoughts also wander, the gazes also wander. They go this way, that way, even in ruku, and in sajda, in most cases, the eyes close. It's just by nature, the eyes close, whereas they shouldn't close. One time, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, in his khanqa, taught the murids fuzzing practical namaz, how to make namaz. One murid went to his home and he started practicing. After he practiced, he went to bed, he lied down, Faylula in the afternoon. He saw that his hoor of Jannat is blind. So he came and he mentioned this to Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat said, looks like you were making namaz with your eyes closed. So he said, that is through my eyes closed. So he said, that you got a blind hoor. When you make your namaz with your eyes closed. So eyes must be open. Some people also, while standing also, they keep their eyes closed. And they say that we can concentrate better. But sunnat is more superior than even our concentration. So in namaz, our eyes must be open and we must focus on the right places. And try and focus exactly there. That when we are standing in the place of sajda, try this, do it, it's very important. And then when we go in ruku, on our feet. And when we are going in sajda, we focus on the nose, tip of the nose. This is also Allah's great qudrat, that Allah has made the eye right at the nose, right below the eyes. Right in front, below the eyes, but we can't see our own nose. The whole world will see our nose, but we can't see our own nose. If we look in a mirror, we can see, but like this, nobody can see his own nose, no matter how much we try. And in fact, the nose, all the mucus which etc. comes out, that we can't see at all. If there is a little bit sticking out, it is very awkward, but you can't see it yourself. You need, that is a great lesson, you need somebody else to tell you. Like you need a mirror. And Allah made the mirror also, what the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-mu'min, mir'atul mu'min, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa sallam. A mu'min is a mirror of another mu'min. And a mirror, when you look into it, it will tell you all your faults. If there is something in your nose, something on your face, something in your beard, it will tell you. It won't tell anybody else. That is how a mu'min must be with a mu'min. You tell that person who is concerned, tell him, we, instead of telling him, we're going to tell the whole world. And we don't tell him. So he doesn't know, he has to correct himself, and we are making ghibah telling the whole world. But if you go and tell him, and if there is that, imani ukhuwat, imani brotherhood between us, no, you'll thank the person. He to correct it you will thank him. And mashallah, that quality is our students who make namaz here, who give adhan. When we notice something, we try and remind them and tell them, and most of them tell us jazakallah. We try and tell them in a nice way that they don't feel offended, but if they are not corrected, whole life they will make that mistake. And they will carry on with that. This a person will say jazakallah. Then the mirror, another thing is, it won't exaggerate or anything. It will tell you exactly as it is. And it won't downplay anything also. Like this, if we ask somebody, that person will say, no, how is my bayan? Sincerely you asked him, so that if there were any fault, no mistakes, nothing, everything. But there were, but you downplay it. Or you exaggerate it. The mirror won't do that. And that is how a mu'min must be with a mu'min. And one great quality of the mirror, like this, if we have to go for our ID photos or something, then on that camera, on the screen, your photo remains there till the next person comes. If it's a lady, we have to ask them, please wipe out the screen, because we had to take that photo. So the mirror is such, it doesn't keep it on its screen, that when the next person will come and see in the mirror, that you see the previous person, that he had something in his nose. The mirror immediately wipes out that. No record it keeps of it, to tell anyone else what fault you had. Like that a true mu'min also is, that the next person, he doesn't go and tell that the person who came before you, he had this fault and he had that fault in him. A true mu'min is not like that. He will tell you the faults, he won't tell anyone else the faults. And as the mirror deletes it completely, conceals it, like that a true mu'min must also be. You came to know of the fault of the person, you know he's doing something wrong in his private life, you came to know, you go up to him, you build a relationship, even if it's necessary for over months to build that relationship. You make friends with him, you build a relationship, you gain his trust, and then in a nice way you tell him. And Haji Abdul Wahab Sahab, the Ahmad Barakatum, says that if there's somebody and you can't tell him, he's of a higher level, like the Dawat of Islam. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to give his father, Abu Talib. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Talib, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you don't give it. There's a child, the da'wat of a child won't have that value, it won't have that importance. That also we have to see when we send a message or something, we have to speak, who must speak to the person. A person of that level must speak to that person. So if you can't, you speak to somebody else to tell him. He can't to somebody else, but all keep it a secret. They don't go and splash it and all that. Today what we do, we tell the whole world. We speak about it in front of everyone. And the person who is involved, we don't tell him. So that he can become conscious, he can realize the wrong that he's doing, the hurt that he's causing, etc. He must realize it. So he must be told. But he must be told, do the right thing in the right way also. Don't do the right thing in the wrong way. One person, somebody stole his horse. So the person, he found out it's by a certain person, and he's got it in his yard, etc. So he went at night, jumped over the wall, and he got back his own horse. That person reported him to the police for trespassing and for stealing also, that it was his horse. And he was charged. So you have to do the right thing the right way. Go to the police, tell them my horse is there. I know I've got proof that it is my horse or car or whatever else it is. But do the right thing in the right way. Don't do the right thing in the wrong way. That is also very important. So this is one also very important aspect of namaz, that we must keep our eyes throughout namaz in the correct places. On the side when we make salam, we should look on the shoulders. Many times we look right through the whole stuff to see who is here for Fajr, who didn't come today, who is absent, etc. We are not responsible and we are not here to take roll call, that who has come, who hasn't come. We must make to the farishtas. And this also, if we are not looking at the shoulders also, we are looking past the shoulders, it gives a very bad reflection for us, for the kiram and katibin. They are living there. If you make salam to a small boy also, and you are looking at somebody else, the boy also feels offended. That he was making me salam, but he hardly looked at me. He didn't give me any attention. He just ignored me like completely. A child will also feel offended. And yeah, the kiram and katibin, and we don't give them attention. If the receiver have to send, the tax man have to send his man to your business to see how you're conducting your business, and that, you will try your utmost to make them happy. But yeah, the receiver of Allah Ta'ala, the tax man of Allah, who are writing everything down, and we don't worry anything about them. We don't even make them salam. Our niyat is not there also. We just look past them. We're looking everywhere else. We are not even looking at them. So it's very important that this aspect of our namaz must also be corrected. And it also needs a lot of training, a lot of reminder. Therefore, if really a person wants his Islam, then two brothers should pair up.
And they should agree with one another that I will correct you, you correct me. But who we have an affinity, who we can get along with nicely, and who we feel is really a friend of mine, and who will tell me the right things. And in that way, a person will benefit tremendously. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. So, this is that honorable and blessed month, the month of Ramadan, in which not only the Quran Sharif was revealed, Inna anzalnahu fi laylati mubaraka. Inna anzalnahu fi laylati al-qadr. The Mubarak night. The ulama give different interpretations that the Quran Sharif Inna anzalnahu fi laylati al-qadr. That we have sent the Quran Sharif down in one piece to the lower heavens. And from there, bit by bit, to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then there are all different discussions, whether it is Shab-e-Barat, that whole Quran came down, Laylatul Qadr, piece by piece. But famous it is that the Quran Sharif came in Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, there are two Laylatul Qadrs. One comes in Ramzan, one comes out of Ramzan. There is a lot of discussion on that also. But normally we take Laylatul Qadr is in Ramzan and the last 10 nights. And in all probability, the 27th night, but it is in any of the odd nights, the Laylatul Qadr. So the value of that was also because of the Quran being revealed on that occasion. The month of Ramadan is really a month of celebration this month. And Islam has taught us how to celebrate also. We have got a Western notion of celebration. If we want to celebrate anything, we've got the Western notion, we have a bride, we have a party, we hire a hall, or whatever else, we do it that way. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, when he got his permit, or citizenship, whatever, to stay in Saudi, and he was staying in Madinatul Munawwara, and where also Allah gave him a place, which today is part of the Haram Sharif. At that time, it was out of the Haram, where Babu Nisa is, of the old Haram. There was a gully there, a street, and just about for 20 meters, there was a Madrasa Solatia, which was on the corner, upstairs it was on top. Not Madrasa Solatia, Madrasa Sharia, or some name like that. And Hazrat had a room there at the bottom. So, what the place Allah Ta'ala gave to Hazrat. Not only in Medina Sharif, but right very close to Rauza-e Mubarak. And Hazrat, how he fulfilled the rites of it. Even during the Hajj periods when the crowds are so big, all his namazes were jamaat. At that time, the crowd used to be so much right out of the street, and it should come right till where Hazrat was staying, then he should join the jamaat there, but all his namazes. And he should spend 3-4 hours every day in the haram, between about 9 o'clock till Zuhar time. And all the time engaged in dua for the ummah. These are Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, or many other great buzurgs also, but what we know of, Hazrat between Asr and Iftari, he should stand in his room, stand and make dua all the time. And making dua for the ummah. One country's names he should take. And not only for the hidayat of mankind, if there are riots in a certain place, making dua for that also. If there are floods somewhere, making dua for that also. If there are droughts in any place, making dua for that also. Making dua. Allah give us a piece of that. Their duas were duas. Two people I saw, there are plenty like that in the world, alhamdulillah. But I saw two people who making dua to understand what dua is. One was Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, and one was my second Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. When they used to make dua, the whole body should shake. Like when we're rolling on our stomach, the whole body is shaking. They in their dua like that. And like out of control they are. They would more than what they... I didn't see a baby crying like that. How they cry in front of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah give us one bit of this to make dua of this nature. Then we will know what dua is. And then we will perhaps understand the hadith also. Al-mu'minu al-qawi khayru min al-mu'mini al-za'if. A strong mu'min is better than a weak mu'min. وَفِي كُلِّ خَيْرٍ And in all days, خَيْرٌ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ So a strong mu'min, you need health, you need strength in order to give your whole self into dua. It's not just the reciting duas. Duas are not recited, duas are made. And this way here you have to give yourself, your outside, your inside, your full concentration. Our duas, that we got our hands like this, like we are smoking something that we're not supposed to be smoking or something. Or in the dua also we waving to somebody. We see somebody else, we winking eyes with somebody. In the duas, that you don't call a dua. A dua is that connection with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And it is those duas that change taqdeer also. It is those duas that the whole government can be on one side. The whole army can be on one side, and that one dua on the other side. Like this, Mullah Jeevan, rahmatullah alayhi, great scholar. He was, he had this little hut where he used to live, and he was informed that the roads department are going to be building a road that way, and they're going to, it's going to go past his house, so they're going to, his whole little hut, they're going to break it down, make way for the road. So, and they are coming with their big bulldozers and whatever things they use. So he told his khadim, his worker, you also bring my weapons. And he knew him, that he was what he meant. So he brought his lota to make wuzu. And he brought his miswak to make miswak. And he brought his musalla. So then he told those people, now if he is going to be making dua after his namaz, you stand no chance. When they informed the king, he diverted the road. And he made it in a different direction. But today we haven't got that. Today what we do if there's a problem in Palestine, may Allah save us all, we start marching. Men and women together, we dress like the kuffar, like the non-believers. No consideration for namaz also, no consideration for parda, and we feel that and we're shouting slogans loudly, and we're wearing t-shirts with all slogans written on them, everything, and we feel I did my share for Islam. And I'm tired at night, the whole day I march, and I go in sleep, no fajr also. Whereas a mu'min is he will be up for tahajjud, and he will turn to Allah Ta'ala. Everything's control is only in Allah's hands. So this is what the dua is. So anyway, on this great night and this great month, Allah revealed not only the Quran Sharif, but Hadhrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written all the spiritual kitab, all the divine kitabs, Torah, Injil, were all on different nights of the month of Ramadan. So the month of Ramadan has got a very strong and special connection with all wahi which Allah has sent down. And for us, it is Quran Sharif that we have got. So there should be a very strong link with this. And in order to celebrate the revelation of the Quran Sharif, from where we digressed and we went off a little bit, it is that we keep the rozas of Ramadan. 29, 30 rozas which are for us, this is really in celebration of the great gift of the Quran Sharif. That Allah blessed us with such a kitab that is giving us directions in every aspect of our lives in this world also. And not only in this world, it is guiding us for the khabar, where we don't know what is going to happen. And we could never have known had Allah not informed us, and had Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not informed us. And we as the Muslims, how much we have to appreciate it, that everyone wants to know his fortune, his future, what is going to happen. Some people go into haram things, kufr things also. The stars are foretelling, horoscope, etc., all these things. The Quran has outlined everything, that how you're going to live your life, how your life will be in the qabr, how your life will be on the day of Qiyamah, what Jannat is like, what the punishments of Jahannam are like. All that the Quran Sharif, and the Hadith has even explained it more detailed, more complete, and Allah reward all the ulama who brought it from there till us today, for in time, and who brought it right from Madinatul Munawwara, whether we in the southern tip of Africa, or whether you are in the northern tip of Europe, or whether you in the eastern tip of the tip of the Fiji Islands, right at the end of the world this side, or whether you are in Alaska, or right on the Peru, or right on the western side of the world there, South America, wherever you are, Allah Ta'ala, these great ulama, and they did not do it so easily. What great, great sacrifices. They devoted their lives to acquire this knowledge. They were not interested in anything else, just to convey the message that what Allah has revealed, now we will pass it on to the next generation. And this is carrying on. And this is, of course, the promise of Allah. Who Allah uses for His promise, very fortunate are those people. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafizun. We have sent this, the Quran Sharif, and we are the protectors of it. And the Quran that was given to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Lawhe Mahfuz, from Allah Ta'ala through Jibreel alayhi salam. And from there, it has come to us today, how many huffaz are sitting here? How many copies of the Quran Sharif on the shelves here? This is all right from Allah Ta'ala till here. And this Quran Sharif is a great, great gift of Allah which He has given us. He has given us now only GPS, and that has started. Maps were started many years ago. Before that there were no directions. 1400 years ago, Allah gave us the direction not to go from one town to another, from one continent to another. He gave us the directions to go to Jannah. That you have come in this world, how to live your married life. The Quran has taught us. How to conduct yourself in your business life, the Quran has taught us. How to conduct yourself in your social life, the Quran has taught us. How to conduct yourself when you're alone in the toilet, the Quran and explanation of the Quran, the hadith. إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنَ الْغَائِطِ وَنَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ. All that, every detail the Quran Sharif has given. And spelled out completely in the hadith. And Allah reward all the great, great fuqaha, the four great imams, that they taught us the finest detail. The non-Muslims of Makkah used to taunt the Muslims that your Nabi teaches you even how to make stinja. That also was taught. And today we feel it, we suffer from an inferiority complex, that those people who have reached the moon, they have reached the moon, are what they say. And you people are still in the masail of istinja. You haven't reached anywhere. If that person did reach the moon or whatever it is, ask him if he is spark even. He doesn't know masail of istinja. With them standing and urinating. And they're not even cared of the urine drops which fall afterwards. The whole trouser is napak. And besides it being najis and napak, Shariat made it. There's very strong chemicals which are in there, which are so harmful for a person. Our deen has taught us how to make khatna, sunnat what we call, to cut the foreskin. With them, all that urine remains there inside. All the dirt, how many diseases are remain with that. And when they go for number two, they don't know. France was the first country to have bathrooms in the house, in the Western world. Otherwise, the bathroom was a communal bathroom, like you go and visit it occasionally. Then you go there. And the other countries in Europe, only after that. And all they used to do, till today, French perfume and is famous. Because to cover up the dirt, they had to cover it up with all the perfume of this, which is also made of dirt. To cover dirt, they use dirt also. When a person becomes an enemy of his own brains, this is what the result of such a person. On the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the desert lands of Medina Sharif and Makkah Sharif, taught us to make istinja with water. Taught us to use water to make wudu, etc. Ghusl, you went in bath and you were in need of a bath. He taught us how to make ghusl. Where there they had water, but they didn't know that water has to be used. And when you go to toilet number two, and you don't use water, which is the common practice, then what do? They use paper. And with that paper, you don't clean yourself, you polish yourself. And with what are you polishing yourself? And then when you come out from there, you go in the water tub. Shower also is not our tariqa, but it's at least better than the tub of water. But the tariqa we should use is a bucket. And more better also try and just use so much water. MashaAllah, Allah reward. Maulana Yusuf, Mutala of Bari, that the mud he has, mashallah, and he's distributing it free, not only in the UK, but yeah, how many came also. Everywhere. And mashallah, there are those ulama, Maulana Musa taught them practically in Rustenburg, that you can make wudu from one mud, which is about 750 milliliters of water. Not even 1 liter. And quite comfortably you can do. May Allah give us all tawfiq. If we don't have the mud, we can start with a plastic bottle also. You get a 70 milliliter plastic bottle also. With that you can do. Some people in the lid of it make just a small 1-2 holes. So you squeeze it a bit. So you don't squeeze out much water. And enough comes out to wash your hands, to wash your arms, to wash your legs. Everything you can manage. The amount of water that we are wasting, Allah make maaf. Anyway, these people from there then, from the toilet, without any washing, they go into the tub. And inevitably that all dirt which is from in front also at the big back mixes with the water. And inevitably some water goes through your mouth also. And goes through your ears and your nose also. And all this dirt, what a filthy life. But yet we forget them, we're not talking of them. We regard them as so progressive. We want to imitate them. We want to make our houses. We want to wear clothes like them. The education they take, we must take. What clothes they wear, we must wear. How their houses are, our houses must be like that. People who have made dogs their imam. When they go for walks with their dogs in the morning or after asr, the dog will walk in front. They got a leash. On which they are holding the dog. Wherever the dog want to sit, they will also stand and wait. Dog want to urinate, they will wait for it. Dog want to do number two, they will wait for it. They made the dog their imam, and we made them our imam. And we are following them almost in every facet, and every aspect of life. May Allah open. And if we didn't have an imam, we could perhaps then be still said, okay, you follow these people. But we got Sayyidul Anbiya. Our Imam, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is the king of all the Anbiya, Alayhimus Salatu Wasalam. And today, they also, many ulama also, are proving that how valuable sunnats are. What the great benefits of sunnat are, of making khatna also, of istinja also, all this, and the squatting position. But today, unfortunately, we're just using the high pen without necessity. Where there is a necessity, somebody needs to use it. That is a necessity, no problem. But even then, mashallah, somebody, that also I think from the UK, they have made a thing that you put under your legs, so that your legs still stand up. Because in that way, you relieve yourself completely. But your legs flat down, you can't relieve yourself completely sitting on it. When you're sitting in a squatting position, automatically your thighs are at about a 45 degree angle. So now when you're sitting on a high pen, then your legs are at a 90 degree angle, straight it is. It should also preferably be up. So they've made something that you put under your legs. Stool. But no, there is something special they have made also, somewhere they made. So anyway, that also, so every sunnat is so valuable. And all these teachings has come in this month. And whatever man has got today, it is all from the teachings of the Quran Sharif and the teachings of the Hadith. And according to necessity, Allah puts it into the mind whoever He wants to. And then they proceed with that. But the basic teaching of how to live today, there are many businesses, but this is a bit of a sad case, that you will see many Jewish businesses where they will write, if you want to return your goods, we'll gladly take them back again. You just need your pay slip, whatever. And if you bought from here, you're not satisfied, we will take it back. But how many Muslim shops got that once you bought, we won't take your goods back again? One person, a good friend of ours in Botswana, it was his rule in his business. Perhaps till now, he has flourished. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given him a lot. But at one time, he was just a small businessman, but he had a rule in his business that anyone buys something and they want to return it, and this is from the hadith, it has come, iqala, that if somebody bought something and it comes after a few days or so, he says, no, I want to return it. You take it back, you give him his money back. Today, a businessman doesn't want to do that. So anyway, in his business he had this rule that whenever anyone wants to return something, he must accept it. So on a Saturday morning, Yom Sabt, which was very busy in the shop, a lady came, a black lady, local lady. She had bought a radio and she wanted to return it again. So the salesman who was attending to her, he went up to him to his office. So he told him, he said, you know the rule of our shop, that we refund if they want to return it. He says, but there are clear signs of usage on it, that you can see that it has been used and not used properly also. He said, no, refund her. He refunded her. She was so happy. She went outside on the stairs of the shop and screaming at the top of the voice, telling everyone, whoever wants to buy, buy only from this shop. What an advertisement for you. And how many people will get him for it? He said, he's such a good man. And he's so good. And she had to go to hospital. She had no money. She had no taxi fare. And when she returned the radio, he gave her all her work got done. MashaAllah, there are some businessmen sitting here who also have got this. The customers, they say, he's an old person, give them something free. Give them some money also. This is how Islam spread in the Far East. All of Indonesia, Malaysia, China, Islam spread was by the businessmen. And the good, correct, and all this, remember at the back of my mind, of our mind, don't forget, it's all what the Quran taught, Quran Sharif. And this is how Islam spread. Those business people went there to the Far East and doing business as a service to mankind. Not in order to make profit, not in order to do the people down, to cheat them, to rob them, but as a service. And at that, then they know that rosy is from Allah. Their markup is very reasonable because Allah will give the rosy. It's not the business that is going to, iman has to be made first. Me, all of us, we need to understand this. So they should sell at very reasonable prices, cheaper than what the local people should sell. And then also, they should, all this, anyone wants to return something, accept his goods again, give him his money back. They treat business as a service. And today that is what we have forgotten. The difference between the Khilafat and a government of today is that a Khilafat is a service for mankind. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and we should try and study our history. What laws he had made, the this countries which run like UK etc. On a social basis, helping out the people. You have a child born, they give you something. You have a cat, she gave kittens. She got kittens, they give you something for that. This was all in the time of from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And that time, huge awqaf were made. Waqf. And what waqf? Like for example, for stray dogs, a one waqf. To look after stray dogs. Waqf for stray cats. Cats which are gone, which are stray. There was a waqf for that. And all the income of that was used for this. This is what a khilafat was. So service is the object. And today if we are running an Islamic organization, like it is the Darul Uloom, at least the masjid, the madrasa, all that, it must be like, don't think I'm the president of the committee, now I can give orders. Yeah, it is a service. That a person serves the people. And Allahu Akbar. Haji Bhai Padia, Rahmatullah Ali, when he should go to Nizamuddin, then he should, middle of the night, he should go and clean the toilets. And not that those toilets are not like our flush system toilets, those days toilets. I saw, once we went with a Jamaat to Kimberley, and they didn't expect a whole bus load we went from Germiston. And Maulana Muhammad Jina, who is living there now, still is there. And what sacrifices his whole life he has made. We saw him, his trousers were folded up till his knees, and he's busy cleaning the toilets. Maulana Saeed Khan Sab Rahmatullah Ali, who was the Amir of Makkah, of Saudiya, and in Masjid al-Hafaya in Medina Sharif, and yeah, was in Makkah Sharif, I'm forgetting his name, Maulana Farooq Sahib. He was the Amir here in Makkah Sharif Masjid al-Hafaya, which was the Tablighi Markaz when it was open. When Maulana Saeed Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to come, the first thing he should go to and see the toilets. If they are clean or not. If they are not clean, fold up his trousers, Maulana himself, up to his knees, takes the brush, takes the broom, and starts cleaning. And when he has started, dare somebody say, Maulana, I will do it. He said that we couldn't do it before. And now you don't speak a word, I'll do it. One time that lesson was enough for them. They would know that now we must keep the toilets clean. So our spirit must be one of service like that. Today our life has become our woman folk. At one time, I hope it's not true anymore, but the girls of Azadwal, if any proposal come, even the conditions that our kitchen is closed from Friday to night to Sunday, Monday morning. Weekends, no food, the kitchen is locked. We don't cook anything in the kitchen. We eat out only. No, this is all a service. It is not a matter of, the whole thing is of service. Husband must be of service to his wife. Wife must be of service to her husband. Yet everyone is, must be of service to everyone. So this is all the teachings of the Quran Sharif. And this great, great kitab in Quran Sharif came in this great month to celebrate this, that we can, time is finished, we will carry on inshallah. But the Arabs used to bury their own daughters alive. Who taught us? Who took us away? Allahu Akbar. How the Quran Sharif has put it also. When those children, those little girls will be asked on the day of Qiyamah, that for what sin were you buried alive? What did you do wrong? That we speak of torture. How that little child. And that a child also, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates his own story when he took a child, one of his daughters, to go and bury her. The children, they like to help the parents. The child was helping to dig the hole, didn't know that it's digging its own hole. And it's going, who saved us from all this? Leaker. What a terrible thing it is still today. They're talking of not under 18, you can't have a leaker, etc. Who must drink responsibly. Islam's teaching is, you don't light the fire. So then you don't have to watch the fire. They light the fire, but now control the fire. Boys and girls from young ages, pre-primary, nursery, put them together. And they must study the anatomy of one another's bodies. How the body is made up, etc. What is going to happen? You lighting the fire, how can you control that fire? So Islam is, it's only the Quran. What a great favor. In celebration of that, 30 rozas are less. That we're thankful. And remember, to celebrate something is not only by feasting, by fasting also. And Allah loves the celebration by fasting. That a person celebrates some ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, he keeps roza for Allah. Allah loves it so much that for the great ni'mat of the Quran, he made the whole month's rozas farz upon us. May Allah Ta'ala let us appreciate the Quran Sharif, appreciate this month. This is what it is. We have come here to understand that it isn't a burden for us. It is a great, great, great ni'mat from Allah. Quran Sharif Allah gave. And what if today we see the Huffaz, mashallah. How they know the Quran, how they read, etc. How much of Quran Sharif is being read in the whole world. There is no other kitab that is being read like the Quran Sharif is being read. And in Ramzan, Allahu Akbar, wherever you can think, wherever Quran Sharif is being read. May Allah give us also tawfiq to appreciate this great kitab and to try and fulfill the rights of it. We are listening from Fadail Quran from Maulana Ridwan and what the demands of the Quran are. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, not just to take it, but kitab reading also has just become a formality, but to try and take this to heart, the adab and etiquette that were read yesterday. Who of us gives it a second thought also? We just listen and finish. That we don't think of making amal. May Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana.